We've got a great speaker, as always, but I think today I'm extremely excited. So David Llewellyn Samuels, we met a year or two ago here at Friday Coffee Meetup, and then we came across each other. Actually, we were a sponsor of the TEDx Pasadena for a couple of years, and we randomly met there, and it turns out he was coaching the speakers. And so we've had coffee a couple times and chat a little bit about, like, how do we tell the group here about what you're doing for coaching and speaking? As entrepreneurs and startups, even just in life, you have to give a lot of presentations and you have to be able to tell a good story, and it's such a craft, you have to practice. So we're very excited to have David come and speak. So welcome, David.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Man, the energy in this room is electric, right? Doesn't it feel that way? Okay, so I think probably many of you want to give a TED Talk, correct? Show of hands, please. Oh, that's less than I thought. So what are the rest of you doing here? You like to listen to TED Talks. Okay, you want to understand what makes a TED Talk dynamic and interesting. So first of all, I just want to thank Mike for this space that we have. I mean, every week we have these incredible speakers, right? Can we thank Mike? Okay, so just really a little bit about me. I think it's important for you to know. My career began in 1988, so I don't know how old that makes me. But anyway, I've done a few things. I've been a business analyst. I've been in management. I am currently a professional musician. I've done operations and ended up in the world of management consulting, which is kind of interesting work to do. And then I became a leader kind of in the executive ranks. And I really enjoyed my work. But then, as someone said earlier, I didn't feel like I needed a boss anymore. Okay. But then, in 2013, I was presenting on energy procurement and management, which is really kind of boring and not that interesting. It was interesting. But someone came to me after I spoke, and I was on a panel, and they said, "You need to be a professional speaker." I thought that was super interesting to me. I thought, what does that even mean? Well, shortly thereafter, I launched my own company, not to do speaking, but to do consulting. And then in November of 2015, I actually was asked to be a TEDx speaker, but during the process, I realized that actually maybe my story wasn't ready. I did not have a compelling, powerful idea that was ready to be shared. So I felt like I needed to do more work. But as I was sitting in this curation panel, I thought, maybe I could help people tell their story. And that's what I did. And I coached with my twin, which you'll see shortly, 13 speakers for about 2 months. And that experience was, it was fascinating. Some of those speakers were professional speakers. About 7 of them were professional. The other 6 were not. But all of them told their story. So what do we want to begin with? What do you need to do to get yourself on the TEDx stage? You need to have a really big idea. Really big. I think all of you have watched many TED Talks, and I think you will realize that once that TED Talk begins, you get drawn in. No matter what they're talking about, right? It's a big idea, and it fully draws you in. So Kristen Mashka, who has she spoken here? No, Kristen is a coach, a speaker, and I had a delightful time working with her on this speech. And this is just to give you a flavor of what I think is a idea that is big and stands for something.
This year, Equal Pay Day fell on April 14th. And my daughter, Kate, who's a freshman in high school and here with us today, wanted to participate and raise awareness about the pay gap between women and men. So she made herself a t-shirt. She's got it on. Women like men, only cheaper.
I think you would agree that's a pretty big idea. This is a very, very powerful talk that she gave about the gender bias and issues that we are still frustratingly still dealing with. But the humor, the lightheartedness that came through in her speech was incredibly powerful. And this gets me to my next point, self-confidence. Please do not confuse this with arrogance. Okay, there's a gigantic difference between being confident and being arrogant. You have to believe that you really have something to say. If you're uncertain about your talk, if you're uncertain about your idea, that's what's going to come across, is uncertainty. So you've got to be clear, very clear. How does one become clear? How does one become self-confident? You need to tell your story often. You need to practice. How do athletes, how do people master any activity? Right? It's practice. Everyone's familiar probably in here with Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hours concept, right? Yes? Show of hands? Okay, good, good. So you got to practice over and over. And then, I love this. I'm sorry, I have to. I'm very proud of my children. This is my son over here giving a talk, and I thought, gosh, look at him. Let it go, let go, right? Okay. Authenticity. Is authenticity something that can be faked? That's a question, by the way. Can you fake authenticity?
No.
Right? No, it's not. And that's why people can relate to that authentic person. It doesn't matter what you're really talking about. It's just, this person is genuine. I'm drawn in. I like what they're talking about. Even if I don't like what they're talking about, it seems like it matters to them. And it's okay, yeah, to be yourself. Be unique. Don't try to be somebody else. We all, at different times, in different ways, suffer from all kinds of things. Imposter syndrome. You've heard of that. Anyone heard of imposter syndrome? We all feel the need at different times, different contexts, somehow to fake it. If you want to give a TED talk, you don't want to do it. Don't fake it. So, I'm really excited to bring to the stage a Friday Coffee Meetup regular. So this slide says, you only need to start with a kernel of an idea. A good coach can help you pull this together. You're probably looking at this slide and wondering, what does this say? So this is my twin, Michelle. And right here, it says, only their mothers can tell them apart. So we happen to have a fascinating experience doing this coaching together. We'd never met. We only met in this curation process. And when the speakers had been selected, we had selected the speakers, she said, well, how do we want to do this coaching? Do you want to split them up? Or and I looked at her. I said, no, let's do them together. And literally, we finish each other's sentences. We had a fascinating time coaching the 13 speakers together. But it may not always go that way. Please welcome Valerie.
So David asked me up here today because I was a TEDx speaker in 2016, and I want to tell two stories of coaching. First off, I'm going to say two things that are completely at odds with one another. One is listen to your coach. The first time I did the showcase, there was a piece of my story where I talked about my assistant asking me if I wanted to do her job, essentially. And I was a lawyer at the time, and my response was, I don't think our clients pay $325 an hour for me to do your job. And when I did that in the TED talk, I had a room full of people, like well in advance of the talk, say, wow, your whole audience doesn't like you right now. And so that got changed too. So I politely declined her kind offer. And those are the kind of really important points that if you're being coached, be open to it. Don't be so attached to what you've written or what you've said. The other thing for me, I had a content coach who kind of just went along with what I was doing, but I really, really, really used the performance coach. That was that we had a person who gave not only feedback on performance, but great tips about how to remember things. But the practice part, you cannot emphasize, because I'm very privileged. I have a game night, like, you know, because I'm from Indiana, so we have game nights. And it's a group of improv actors who are my game night people. So at the end of game night one, I said, can I do this for you guys? And they just gave me everything I needed. And then I'm also in a writer's group that has actors. And so I got to do it in front of them. And I got another set of performance notes from actors. You have to remember when you're on that stage, it is a performance. And I'm a professional keynote speaker. I make the majority of my living from keynote speaking, and I still try to use coaches at every chance I get. So be open to people's feedback, but you don't have to listen to everything you're being coached. And the story, the reason David asked me up here is we had two of our speakers when I was at TEDx Pasadena who just could not memorize what they were doing. You had to memorize it. They couldn't memorize it. And one of them I became very close friends with. And I found out that her coach was rewriting her talk. That when he had an idea of what it should have been about. And he was taking out some of her personal stories the night before TEDx, she and I went out and she told me a story and I was like, oh my God, that's so beautiful. That's so compelling. Why isn't that in your talk? And she was like, oh, my coach said that that's not what my talk is about. And so I'm going to say two things. When you do have the privilege of giving a TED talk or any kind of talk in front of a group of people for which you're going to have a large audience or a continuing audience, first off, your story is what it's about. That matters more than anything, no matter what you're guided, no matter what you're coached. And if you have a coach that is clashing with you on that, get a different coach. That is your privilege. Because when you're on that stage, it is only you on that stage. So in hindsight, she could have given a much more compelling, much more personal talk if she hadn't been coached the way she had been. And that was also what happened to the other person who couldn't memorize his talk. And it turned out it just wasn't their talks. So have coaching, have people give you feedback on what you need to improve, but make it all about you at the end of the day.
Thank you, Valerie. Thank you. So I want to give you guys, this was the good example of what it feels like to work with good coaches.
We have people who thought they were speaking on one subject, and as we would ask them questions or pursue some thought, it was like, you mentioned this, but it seems like there's something more in there. What was that about? All of a sudden, something would flourish.
We helped them find a story that was inside of them that they didn't know was there until they worked with us. I think we gave people a mission to tell their true story.
I thought we were talking about how smart you are.
Likewise.
That was fun, as you can tell. But as Valerie pointed out, it may not work that way. But do not step onto a TEDx stage without a speaking coach, okay? Vulnerability. Vulnerability is very, very powerful. Okay, people, I think we are at a stage in our lives where we've heard enough people who are sort of, you know, buttoned up or sort of faking it. I think, in fact, the whole TEDx and TED Talks has really taken off because we're hearing people share their experience and share their heart in the way that prior to the TED stage, you just didn't hear that. So I think this is a platform where you have permission now to be vulnerable. It's hard to be vulnerable. It's scary, right? We all know that public speaking for many people is the scariest thing on the planet, right? So if it's really scary, how do you now become vulnerable? I mean, that seems like it's almost too much to handle. I think if you're afraid to be vulnerable, then you probably don't want to take the stage. And let that sink in for a little bit. Moving on. This is Tembi Locke. Tembi Locke is an actress. She's a local person. I think her daughter goes to Sequoia. Any Sequoia parents here? No? Dr. Alibrando, I just have to wave at you. I'm gonna embarrass you.
Spent a lot of money.
Well, I'm just gonna, in the spirit of vulnerability, I'm gonna say Dr. Alibrando is maybe one of the reasons I'm standing here today. This is a therapist that I went to 25 years ago. And here he is. Thank you, Sam.
You see, I knew firsthand that life can change on a dime. When I was 20, I rounded a corner in Florence and I locked eyes with the man who would change my life. Now, at the time, he was standing in front of one of the best gelaterias in all of Florence. And nearby, there was this bakery that was emitting the most exquisite smell of fresh baked bread. So really, he just seemed like an obstacle to my next meal. Beautiful one, but an obstacle. I was too young to know anything about fate or destiny. And I certainly wasn't looking for love. I mean, not the kind that could last a lifetime. But the momentum of meeting this sexy man while I was thinking about ice cream, well, that was just undeniable. And it didn't take me long to realize that I had met the love of my life. So with this deliciously Italian chef in one hand and a marriage license in the other, set. I mean, the gods have smiled on me. I am an actress in a loving, supportive marriage. I have a lifetime of home-cooked meals to look forward to. I am living my version of La Dolce Vita. I have everything I want and the potentiality for everything that I could imagine. And then, in May of 2002, we heard these words: rare, soft tissue bone cancer. Overnight, I became a caregiver.
So Tembi's an actress, right? You can tell she's very comfortable on the stage. But her story is about losing her husband in a very dramatic way. And when we began working with her, she had to relive this experience. And even a trained professional actor, the emotion many times just wouldn't allow her to finish her talk. Like Tembi and others, there were standing ovations and, I mean, tears in that room. So this vulnerability, not being afraid to share something that is so deep. This is part of the challenge, to be able to say, I have a story I want to share, and others will connect and will relate to that story. Just as a thought came to my mind, we had another speaker that was speaking on a very, very sensitive topic. You guys are familiar with some of the things that have happened in the Catholic Church with young children. And this individual was talking about the topic and the research, and we were just sort of going around and around, and it was very difficult to kind of figure out what she was actually trying to say. And she had all this data and anecdotes, and it was interesting, but I couldn't connect with her. And in this case here, I say connect the dots, don't assume we are able to fill in any gaps. What I had to do, and probably what a good coach does, we have to listen very deeply. And at one point I stopped her and I said, do you have a connection to this story? And her face, the color of her expression changed. And she says, yes, I do. But everyone has told me that I shouldn't share my personal experience with issues that we don't like to talk about around children and adults, right? She had a connection to that. And she said, hold on a minute. And she called, she said, I'm going to have my husband come in. And he came in and she told him what had happened. And she said, he's the only other person that has said that I should tell my story. So thinking about giving a story, sometimes it's not easy for the listener, the audience, to actually understand what you're trying to say. You may know the subject so well yourself, but that doesn't mean that you're able to translate that. Okay? So sometimes, you know, you have the talk, you think it's great, but we're not hearing you. We're not understanding what you're trying to say. So that's part of the process. I wouldn't get too hung up on that. Don't expect, actually, for your talk to come out the first time perfectly, right? Expect that some things will need to be fine-tuned. I was looking at this picture. This is, right, you guys can read it, make an emotional impact with it, with hearts and minds. And I'm looking here at Kim, and like, I think I'm scaring her to death. This is the kind of connection that I, as a coach, and my fellow coach had with our speakers. And if you're uncomfortable with your coach or it feels awkward and clunky, probably need a new coach. You should have some kind of connection. So get ready for an emotional connection.
My baby sister will turn 1 year older in a few months. Old enough to do what she is accustomed to doing, to be considered the woman she always almost is. I'll be asking her questions like, why you like Chief Keef so much? Why you chase boys in thug life so intentionally? Have you seen our big bro's Instagram post? Homeboy from our old hood got shot up 12 times last night. Why you chase boys in thug life so intentionally, like you ain't in college, like you ain't a good grade, full-time job having, residing in the burbs now type of John? We laugh at my use of the word John. She tells me, keep that Philly talk out of here. I say, Philly is only a bridge away. You've seen so much more, sis. I attempt to plant seeds, but my sister is a stubborn garden. A friend once told me, planting seeds is the best we can do, that from there, it is not up to us whether or not they blossom. When I speak to her about another black life lost, if she blossoms, when I tell her some girls gotta learn how to bite before they bloom, if she blossoms, when she shakes her head and says, that's crazy, pours my nephew a bowl of cereal, goes silent. Does she blossom? Even when she is silent, even when she is speaking about death and loyalty and how much money Chief Keef got, when she calls our mother anything less than our mother, says she wishes she would listen too. I hear my own voice in the tremble of hers. I want to reach out for her hand, but we weren't taught to love that way. A friend once told me, planting seeds is the best we can do, that from there, it is not up to us whether or not they blossom. I accepted that until I realized that would make me a lousy gardener. I will not sit back and watch her wither because I held on to some excuse that perhaps letting go is the best I can do, because too often someone letting go is why people who look like us become statistics in the first place. My sister is my favorite student who I have yet to save. I cannot lose her. So I tread lightly through questions like, you still got plans to be a nurse? Or are you back to wanting to be a doctor? You got plans on holding up your son, those dreams, and holding down that boyfriend behind bars? At the same time, do nurses bang? Do you think my nephew would get to know me well enough if I had no choice but to keep him? Bundle up. Drive safe. Have you read this book before? You like Chief Keef? Shoot, try listening to Kendrick Lamar. Come visit me in Cali someday. Come visit before you grow old, after we learn to hold hands, before I stop dreaming of your last breath, after you assure me you were not meant to end this way. You, I, us, we were not meant to end this way. Thank you.
Yeah, right. Alicia Wise is her name, if you're interested in looking at her work. She was the opening speaker, raised the roof. I mean, it was powerful stuff. But I want you to see how, in a very different style, there it doesn't really matter what your style is. There was just something so inside of her that she was bringing out. It was unmistakable. Unequivocally, she was as authentic and emotion. She gave us everything within her. And that was really beautiful. My last point is, and in the spirit of embarrassing more people, one of my clients, I do executive coaching, which is my primary work. My client, who is here, mentioned that he had an opportunity to give a TED Talk, but decided not to. And this slide is just for him. It's an opportunity. If you have an opportunity to give a TED Talk, jump on it. Okay. Look at it more as an opportunity for personal growth, professional growth. We all, at different times, need to communicate for sure, but we'll have to present something. I think that's what Mike said. Or we have to speak about something. So seize that opportunity. It's okay to be uncomfortable. It's okay. If you surround yourself with the right kind of support, the coach, you do the work, you do the practice, you can give a good TED Talk. Okay, so don't be afraid. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Who's ready to give a TED Talk now? Not me. I'm too scared for that. You know, it's funny, you ended that talking about being uncomfortable. The thing about me, I hate public speaking. I do this every morning, every Friday, because this is my getting out of my comfort zone. Running the agency that I run, I have to present a lot, and this is my practice. So a lot of the things really resonate with me that you talked about. We're going to open it up to Q&A. I'm going to give John the microphone. Please, no comments. Let's make sure anything that you're saying ends with a question mark. We'd love to hear your questions. We'd love to hear David's answers. So here you go, John.
Thank you, Mike.
I'm curious, you suggest that everyone should, you know, grab the bull by the horns and do a TED Talk if given the opportunity, but you didn't. And it seems that you now have a partner who could be an excellent coach, since you can finish each other's sentences. So I'm wondering what keeps you from doing a TED Talk.
Thank you, John. As I said earlier, I realized I wasn't ready. Right? Somebody thought I was ready, but when I did the true self-reflection, I said, no, these other people who you saw, some of, they're ready. I still have work to do.
Over here, David.
So your career is really inspiring, and you are helping and solving other people's problem. My question is, how do you deal with your own private problems as well as, you know, others?
I don't have any problems.
That's interesting to know.
Thank you. How do I deal with my own issue? So, Tom, who is one of my clients, what I've mentioned to him that I do and I've built into my life is I have something that I call a personal board of directors. And that looks like at this point in time, there's about 8 people that I meet with monthly, biweekly, and we talk about my problems. And these are people that I have hand-selected, that all different walks of life, but these are people that are actually invested in my success. So I have been very, very deliberate about finding people who will help me to grow, keep me accountable, and have my back.
Over here, back here.
Yes. Hi, David. Leslie Marquez with Compass. I was wondering what defines a TED Talk versus a moth talk. I mean, do the lines blur, and what defines each one of them? And can you talk a little bit about how does one actually, what is the process of a speaker going into a TED Talk? Do they apply for it? Yep. Do they give a presentation to a committee?
Yep. I'm not familiar with moth talk. I'm sorry. What does that mean?
No.
Storytelling.
Storytelling event. A storytelling event that people get on stage and will tell a story and recount an experience.
Yeah. I mean, the TED Talk, you know, the tagline is ideas that matter. So it's not necessarily always a story, right? It could be almost a technical presentation. We had a couple years ago at TEDx Pasadena, a woman spoke about how to get control over your data, your personal data. So it wasn't really certainly wasn't a story. It was a lot of facts and data. But the idea was very unique, that she showed us how we can get our data back from these large, from Facebook, LinkedIn, etc. So I think that it's really just, you know, maybe you went on a trip somewhere and you had these fascinating experiences. That could be a TED Talk. It just needs to be an interesting, genuinely interesting, and probably somewhat unique idea. Now, the process goes, you have to apply. So you kind of almost like stumble across, oh, there's a TEDx Pasadena or TEDx event happening somewhere. You happen to find that website, you then go on and apply. And typically, you try to do a 2 or 3 minute synopsis in a video format and submit it to the website. That's how we did it here a few years ago. So I think the hardest part might actually be just knowing that there is one happening, right? And then if you're lucky and your 2 minute, 3 minute synopsis is engaging enough, then the TEDx curation team will reach out to you and it goes from there. Yeah.
Back here. Hi, Kevin Walker from Boardwalk. Is there a perfect length for a TED Talk?
No. Oh, you'd like me to elaborate? Typically, these TED Talks are, you know, I think the longest is about 18 minutes. So there's 18, 14, 12, 6. They're varying. How long was your talk, Valerie?
17, but I strived for 15.
So Valerie says hers was 17 minutes, but she was trying to get it under 15. I think this is probably where the coach comes in to help you with, okay, that's too long, or, you know, we're kind of losing you, or, you know, that type of thing. But there is no perfect length, right? I think you want to feel comfortable that you can memorize for the period of time, right? So if you can only memorize 8 minutes, then you should probably just do 8 minutes.
Hi, I'm Julie.
Hi, Julie.
So I think TED Talks are really interesting because there's kind of an expected style. But Alicia's kind of broke that norm. Can you talk a bit about, did she come with her style? Was she nervous about being her authentic self?
Yeah, so one of the things that Michelle and I shared in common is we don't care about your style. What we're after is the authenticity, right? So Alicia is a spoken word poet. And when we started working with her, we actually had to shift her out of speaking in spoken word, because that's what she does all the time, to breaking her down to, Alicia, we want to hear just Alicia who's not performing. And then that part of the speech was the spoken word piece. So we actually had her just do Alicia, non-spoken word, and then we went into spoken word because that's so much a part of who she is. And I would say the speakers that we had didn't follow any particular, you know, style or perceived style of what a TED Talk should be. And I think that was partly because myself and Michelle and others in the curation team, we just said, oh, we just want to have compelling, powerful story. We don't want everybody to sound the same or feel the same or look the same. So, yeah, you don't have to be like Valerie. You can be yourself. No, Valerie's wonderful. Actually, Valerie's TED Talk, I came up to you, didn't I? I came up to the backstage and I found her, and she was phenomenal. Phenomenal speaker. But, you know, your style is your style, right? If you got the idea down and that happens to be spoken word or some other style, then go with it. If you have a coach who's telling you to change your style, out. Get rid of him.
Hi, my name is Vic.
Hi, Vic.
My question goes back to being an entrepreneur. Mm. And my experience is that authenticity is important, but vulnerability is dangerous, right? That investors and partners don't necessarily want to hear about my where I'm vulnerable. They want a story about success. So how to create that authenticity, mm-hmm. without coming across as where I often feel as an entrepreneur is I keep fucking things up, you know. I keep having one failure after another. I keep making one mistake after another. And yeah, that's my, you know,
so
my quandary, I guess.
So I think as we talk about communication in general and speaking, the first principle really is knowing your audience. So you may not, you probably have found that those investors or others are not the audience to be vulnerable with. But you need to find those people who you can be vulnerable with. Right? So it's always about what should I be sharing or not sharing? What's appropriate, what's inappropriate? I mean, we all have to do that all the time, right? One of sort of the tenets of my work is really around developing emotional intelligence in people. And so you have to know when you can say certain things and when you shouldn't.
Hello.
Hello.
I hope this comes out clearly. It's in my head, it's clear. But a lot of the great TED Talks I've seen have the big idea, but the speaker is also talking about what they're doing to solve something. And now they've created this great organization that's around the world doing all these things. How important is that piece of the recipe versus just a great, compelling, authentic story itself?
I think what happens is those people that you're referring to, they're already doing some work and they just want to tell people about it, right? So that's just the particular place that they're coming from. They are doing this work, changing the world somewhere, and they say, hey, I want to tell everybody about this. But then there are others who just have a compelling story that maybe even be very personal. We had I haven't seen this done a lot, but we had two people speak at the same time. And it was sort of a back and forth between these two individuals. And they were both cancer patients who had met through their doctor. And they had this incredible story. And it was very personal to them. I mean, very, very, very personal. But, you know, they spoke to this issue of breast cancer that many people suffer from. So they weren't necessarily changing the world per se. It was about what brought them together and then what they're just doing together now that they've have this shared experience. So I think it can be both. It can be people who are doing wild things and then people just maybe who have an idea again, that's just very compelling.
Any more questions? I just want to make a quick comment since we've got a little bit of time. I've been involved with Friday Coffee Meetup since 2013 and a lot of people have mentioned that this is kind of like a mini TED Talk of sorts. And so one of the things that I would encourage those that would like to speak, come talk to this guy right here. He does this put Mike on the spot here. We do look for speakers that's obviously related to the type of topic and subject matters that we present here at Friday Coffee Meetup. And I think this is a great platform, and we do try to limit the talk to 15 to 20 minutes. So this is a good time to practice that public speaking skill that you're trying to develop, create some content, and develop some credibility for what it is that you are an expert at. So with that, thank you very much, David.
Thank you, everyone.